It's the Oklahoma Today podcast, finally back after a long hiatus. The entire staff was frozen in carbonite due to some gambling debts incurred on Endor.
Hoth! It was on Hoth!
I am your web editor, Greg Elwell, along with editor-in-chief, Nathan Gunner.
Hey!
And this week we have grabbed two of the people that we see a lot and couldn't get away. Photo editor Megan Rossman and managing editor Carly Ibarra.
Hello.
We're going to talk about Halloween, some of our favorite stories from the September-October issue, which is still on newsstands. But first, the Oklahoma Today podcast is brought to you by MIO, the Made in Oklahoma Coalition. Celebrating its 20th year, the MIO Coalition represents over 70 Oklahoma food processors and agricultural producers. These companies are known for products you can depend on for consistency, quality, taste, and flavor. Local has a name, and the name is MIO, the Made in Oklahoma Coalition. Learn more at www.miocoalition.com. We are heading into spooky season.
Scary time. The election.
That's
oh,
right.
Oh, no, you mean Halloween.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
You're talking
not
about
just Halloween. The not just the ads on YouTube telling me that various people hate various other people.
Ah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
But instead, it's the fun spooky time. It's Halloween.
Yes.
This is good news. We've got a whole issue dedicated to spooky things.
Yeah, we don't always do this come October, but this year we had some really fun, scary stuff. And one of the things we want to talk about is a piece that Megan wrote called Spooky Oklahoma.
I did. I did indeed write this piece called Spooky Oklahoma.
You went around and you gathered some of, like, the creepiest tales from Oklahoma history and haunted places and...
I mean, I don't know if they're the creepiest, but they're what I found. They were the ones that I felt like I could actually make my word count on. some of them, you know, there's just not much of a tale. It's like, oh, some people thought they saw a dead clown here, and... That's the...
Oh,
you know.
God.
Where did people think they saw
it? I'm just making that.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't really know if anybody...
Guys, that's Megan's basement, and
she couldn't
write about that.
Yeah.
That was just the first thing that came to my mind for some
No,
reason.
That would be... It would
but,
be haunted by the ghost of a possum
that's
or raccoon.
True, yeah.
Yes.
I've had a fair
Those
number
are...
of rodentia in your basement over the years.
Yes.
So what was a, what was
haunted,
a place that
still.
You wrote about that gave you the genuine creeps?
Well, I wouldn't say it gave me the creeps, but the first one that I found that I absolutely knew that I was going to include was the interdimensional portal at Beaver Dunes Park. And so that's a place where people like to go and just sort of, you know, ride their dune buggies and ATVs and fly all over the sand. And so the idea of there being a portal there that people were just like... I just imagine someone on their ATV just like whoop, whoop, oops, you know, like
just accidentally. Yeah. It's like, I'm gonna watch me shred this, and then all of a sudden they're in Narnia.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, there goes Jeff. He's gone.
I hope you like Turkish delight.
Yeah. One minute you're just running over some sand dunes, and the next minute you're running over a sentient flower.
Yeah.
That's
so
right.
Yeah. So the mental image of all these people going missing on their ATVs at Beaver Dunes just made me laugh. And I was like, of course, if it were real, it would not be funny.
And we should give major props to Jerry Bennett,
Oklahoma
artist.
Yes, who perfectly he captured my mental image with his illustration. And he did several great illustrations in this issue, including a cool
A headless horseman.
A headless horse lady.
Horse lady, I apologize.
And also Bigfoot drinking
a beer. A drunken Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what's the origin of this, of the scary tale of the interdimensional sand dune?
Well, I saw a lot of people on the internet say someone was just trying to get publicity for the city of Beaver. Who knows if that's true. It's just, you know, it's one of those urban legends some people insist that this is true and that, you know, they, like, people have seen men in suits, like, you know, the Men in Black, like, at Beaver Dunes State Park in the 90s, and then all these people, because, you know, there are rumors, of course, that a UFO has crashed there, too. So,
wow. Aliens are bad pilots. I'm just going to say it. They're crashing all over the place.
It sounds to me like a ska band broke down in Beaver Dunes.
But this legend goes all the way back to the 1500s, right? With Coronado and the Spanish expeditions.
That's what people say now, you know. They say that in his diary, Coronado says that, like, he was warned not to go to Beaver Dunes Park or
Mall that then.
It was not Beaver Dunes Park at that time, I'm sure.
They told Coronado, do not get on your ATV and do not go through Beaver Dunes.
Yeah. I would say we encourage people to go to Beaver Dunes.
Yes.
Park.
Yes, yeah, we do, but like the Native Americans at the time were like, don't go there, guys, and Coronado was just like, you know what, we're gonna go there, and then he was like, oh man, like five of my men disappeared in a flash of light. That is what people say he said in his diary, but, like, I contacted a historian at OU, and he was just like, I don't remember that part.
So yeah, that would kind of stick out, I would think
he would remember that.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You know.
I really like the one about
but
the Stone Lion
Inn. Who knows when he last read it? Who remembers the Scarlet Letter? Nobody.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that tale.
See?
But I did, yes, also write about Stone Lion Inn, which I thought was one of the more convincing ones to me, because Becky Luker bought this house and turned it into a B&B, like, I think she did that in 1986, and her sons were pretty young at the time when they moved in, and they would see, everyone would see just kind of these ghosts and apparitions, a lot of stuff sort of in your peripheral view. Mm-hmm. And like her sons today, like, don't go to the house. Like, they don't want to go there. And it's not like these weren't, you know, angry, scary poltergeists or anything. It was all mostly benign stuff. Like, you know, she would see, people would see like a man smoking a pipe in the basement, like in their peripheral view, and she would see, you know, you'll see like, you'll catch like the bottom of somebody's skirts going up the stairs, or like a kitten walking down the hallway. There's one suite there that people sometimes have said they feel like a child like patting their face, and that wakes them up. But it's not, you know, no one's like flying through the walls like,
oh, good.
I want you to die.
It's not
like
paranormal activity.
Yeah. Right.
Although, wasn't there something in there about, like, they had cleaned up a room and then left, and then they came back and it was,
like, oh yeah,
stuff
like,
was everywhere?
Yeah, like her kids' toys, like they would put them away the night before, and then the next morning they'd be spread across the floor.
Hmm. And we should say that Stone Lion Inn is a place you can actually go stay. Like, if you're curious about this kind of thing, you can go experience it for yourself.
Yeah.
You don't even have to stay there. You can, they do murder mystery dinners. Right?
Yeah, it sounds like so much fun. I want to go do one.
Yeah, I think, and there's, the food is supposed to be very, very good. They have green chili bisque, which I just, anytime, I have to mention that over and over again.
Any bisque, really.
Any, yeah.
You know, if I ever have questions about bisque, Megan, you're the person I ask.
Wow.
You're my bisque. Like, if there was a Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and the question was about bisque, I'm like, I'm going to call Megan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's a bisque spurt.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I go and I eat all the good bisques.
We appreciate you and thank you for your service.
But yeah, you can go there and go to the murder mystery dinners, and, you know, maybe you'll see a ghost, or maybe you'll just have some really good food.
Awesome.
And
that's worth the trip
mystery
by itself.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And they do those every weekend, so.
Oh, fun. Are they still doing them now, or are they?
I believe so.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
But I'm.
We always
ahead.
Encourage readers these days to call
yes.
ahead. Every
yeah.
time we tell you to go do something, call first. Call the people. Don't call us. Call the people who are actually doing it and make sure that it's still happening before you go, because,
yes.
you know, you don't want to waste a trip. Another place you had in this story, Megan, that I really loved because I have a personal connection to it is Dead Woman's Crossing,
oh, yeah.
which is around the corner from the house I grew up in. And was the first story, it was the first story I ever wrote for Oklahoma Today way back in 2011 when I was a mere child of 31.
Yeah, and this is one of the few ghost stories in Oklahoma that's actually based on an actual verified event. This woman was murdered back in, oh, what year was that?
I think it was 1905, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was right, I think it was right before statehood.
Mm-hmm.
And she had gotten on, things were not going well with her husband, and she got on a train with her infant daughter and was going to go visit relatives, and instead she ended up getting off on an early stop with some woman that she didn't know, who, it was the notorious Mrs. Ham,
Otherwise, that's so my rap name.
Notorious H.A.M.
Yes. Her name was actually, it was Fanny Norton, but for some reason, I think she might have been married to a Mr. Ham.
Yeah. That's generally how people get to be known as
well,
Mrs.
But
Ham.
She was a fan of ham. She was a working girl. She was a lady of the night.
Uh-huh.
So maybe she just had a pseudonym.
Yeah,
you know.
I
for if she had any customers that ended up being unhappy.
They were big fans of ham.
Yeah.
So it sounds like this woman, Katie, she disappeared, and her there was a German family on a farm that, you know, Mrs. Ham rolled up in a wagon with, you know, Katie's baby, and Katie was nowhere to be found, and she just tossed the baby to this little German boy and was like, here, take this, and I'll be back in a while.
And do we know that it was Mrs. Ham who handed the child off?
Well, I mean, that is, the family said that it was her, and she was seen around town in her wagon, because she had rented a wagon, and...
We should say, by the way, the baby was fine.
Yes,
yeah,
the baby. Oh, like, yeah, yeah. No, the baby was fine, yeah. But the baby was covered in blood, and as she was leaving the property, she threw a bundle of bloody clothes into a bush that belonged to Katie, and so then, I mean,
not the bush.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it was not until months later that her dad had hired a private investigator, and he. Oh no, somebody who was hunting actually happened to come across her remains, but they never, when they went to question Mrs. Ham, Fanny, she killed herself in the police station, so.
She took poison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy because she didn't know this lady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, like, and Fanny, or Mrs. Ham, said that she was like, no, I didn't do it. I'm innocent. There were some other people who came along and killed her. And then she went in the bathroom and took poison. So it's like, you know, the still
remains
mystery.
Unsolved to mm-hmm. this day. And they say...
She was convicted and... posthumously, so...
Oh, I didn't... I don't remember that. I didn't remember that detail. And they say now that Katie's spirit still wanders the banks of Deer Creek outside of Weatherford, just calling for her child.
Yeah, you can hear a woman sobbing at night and things like that.
I've been there at night and I didn't hear anything, but maybe she just didn't like me. I don't know.
I feel like anywhere I go at night, I hear women sobbing, but it's usually...
That's a problem particularly.
Yeah, that's a me thing.
Yeah. And then we've got the Hex House in Tulsa, which is this is another one that is a part of the historic record. We know this happened.
Yes. Hex House, the Hex House is a fun story because it is just so weird. So there's this woman in Tulsa named Carol Ann Smith, and, you know, she lived in a fancy duplex, and her neighbors, I mean... There were some complaints because she tried to use her dog's names to get, like, ration stamps, and a neighbor overheard her at this appointment and was just like, oh, hey, no, those are her dogs. And so the police started they came over to her house, and the neighbors were like, also, you know, we saw her burying some little coffins in the backyard. We thought that was kind of weird. And the police were like, okay, we do too. So they got a warrant and came over, and they dug up these little coffins that had her dogs in them. And then, but what was more strange is they found two women in their 30s, like, living in her basement in rags, sleeping on, like, orange crates. And they were like, well, this is not good. And so they got, you know, they got those ladies out there. And I guess Carol Ann had, like, brainwashed these women into believing that they were going to get into heaven with her help. So she had just, like, this little mini religious cult going on. And she had taken out life insurance policies on them, some people say. And, luckily they were found. She had been, you know, milking their families for money. And this is just kind of something that she did, was, like, take life insurance policies out on people, and they would just happen to die. And, you know, it helped her take care of herself. So
she was kind of black widowing her way
through Tulsa. She was a real creepy lady, and this was the house is not standing anymore, but it was the parking lot is still there across the street from Veterans Park, and like the staircase that kind of like went up to the house, there are a couple stairs that are still there, and people say that, you know, weird things happen if you park your car in that lot, like the lights will like mysteriously turn on or the car won't start, you know.
I think this is a lot of people's excuse for leaving their headlights on.
Yeah.
Having a dead battery is what I think.
I think it could be. But one thing that I just loved are these photos from the Tulsa World, which we have. They licensed one to us. And it's just this photo that's taken like days after they brought these women out of the basement of Carol Ann's house, and like everyone is just having a grand time. The dog coffins are in the foreground and everyone's just standing behind them grinning, and
they look like they're at a ribbon cutting
or something.
Like, very strange.
And it's like these two women who were like brainwashed hostages living in a basement for years, and they're both smiling like it's the best day of their life. Which it might be. They just got let out of the basement.
Out of context, it looks like those, like everybody in the picture is really happy those dogs are dead.
It kind of does. And yeah.
And then what's interesting is there's this little boy in the picture too that like I just identified him as house resident, because it was not clear to me if he was living in the apartment with them or if he was living in another unit in this duplex.
Well, and it's a lot of their family members came, yeah, the family members of the sister, so it could be like a, you know, a cousin or somebody who just came along with the with the brothers. I don't know.
But they just all look like they're having the best time. Next to these unearthed coffins.
They're getting
coffins.
Their picture taken.
Yeah. And they're not, you know, they're not living in a basement and sleeping on orange crates anymore.
Yeah, no.
So maybe
I mean,
it is a good day.
That's a fair point.
Wow. And then we've got the headless horsewoman at Fort Washita. I always want to say Fort Wichita. No, that's wrong. Fort Washita. What's up with the headless horse lady?
Well, I mean, nobody really knows. There are, like, several different accounts of, like, where she might have come from. You know, there, like, people think she might have been a freed slave, or she might have been the wife of an officer at the fort. Nobody really knows, and nobody really knows how she died. There's been speculation that, you know, it was like a robbery gone wrong. I mean, really wrong, and they cut her hat off.
Seems excessive.
It seems like a lot of work to...
I wouldn't, you know, it's been so long.
Cut someone's head off, but, you know...
To each his own.
Yeah.
Murderers, like, I don't...
Murderers be murdering.
Yeah.
That's right.
Uh-huh. And then, yeah, so a lot of people have seen... Well, I don't know if a lot of people have seen, but some people have reported seeing, like, this figure riding on horseback through the fort at night, and... just various, like, people have had their hair pulled there, or...
And there was, like, a story of, like, some people who lived there, right?
Yeah,
who
there
lived
were
on the
people...
fort, and they were really terrorized by this
thing. Yeah, uh-huh. Yes, yeah, supposedly there was a guy and his sister who lived there, and she supposedly had, like, a nervous breakdown because she just could not deal with this nasty spirit that just kept harassing her.
Wow.
And they usually, each year, they usually, the Oklahoma Historical Society will do, like, a candlelight, like, kind of ghost story tour,
so. Well, Megan, you did a great job on this story, and it was so good and creepy and fun, and Jerry did a great job with these illustrations.
Yes,
so, yeah, and I have to say, listeners, you can't see it, but the headline treatment, the little creepy drawings that J.J. Ritchie did for the headlines are also great. So this is definitely... a story worth checking out when you get a chance.
There's a lot of stuff worth checking out in here.
Yeah, another thing that was a lot of fun is Greg went looking for... You went looking for Bigfoot.
I did.
Did you find him?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, broke that news.
Okay, exclusive interview, Bigfoot. September-October issue of Oklahoma Today. Pick it up.
I went on a Bigfoot hunt outside Hochatown with a really nice guy named Charles who took me to where he saw the creature and told me about his experience, and I interviewed a cryptozoological writer who's written a bunch of books about Bigfoot and Lizard Man, and he's kind of interested in this sort of mid-south region monster thing, and then talked to some people with a group called No Bro, which is actually full of bros, but it's the North Oklahoma, no, Native Oklahoma Bigfoot Research Organization, and their mission, as they told it to me, is to kind of help people who are dealing with Sasquatch problems, and, you know.
Well, yeah, in your story, there was a guy, was it an ant, like, near antlers?
Yes, yeah, who was having, he felt his family was being harassed by a Bigfoot, or perhaps a tribe of Bigfeet. So, anyway, it was a fun time. It's interesting to me how people get into this stuff and really believe in it. I will say one thing that Charles told me was, he said it's a lot of people want to believe, but then when you start talking to other people, their notion of what happened to them is so far afield from what happened to you that it's, you know, some people it's like, oh, I have a psychic connection with Bigfoot, and some people are like, he ate my cow. and I suppose you can reconcile those two things. I don't know why eating a cow wouldn't give you psychic powers.
I've been eating cows my entire life, and I don't have one psychic power.
That you know of.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a very good point.
But anyway, yeah, it was a good time. I hope people enjoyed reading it. But the whole issue is really fun. We kind of we have some really great night photography. That
good job again, Megan, curating that. Some really gorgeous things, including I love the one near the end of the official state deep sky object.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you didn't know Oklahoma has an official state deep sky object. I didn't even know that. What is it called? The Rosette Nebula?
Yeah, it's the Rosette Nebula, and Tom Arnold, who's the director of the Kirkpatrick Planetarium at Science Museum Oklahoma, is the one who submitted that photo for us.
Very cool. It's very, very cool. But all these all the photos in there are gorgeous.
I love the creepy animal story.
Yes, Gordon Grice, great nature writer, did a story about the weirdest, creepiest, oddest animals in Oklahoma, one of which is actually the prairie dog, the black-tailed prairie dog.
He's a little weirdo.
Yeah. We'll have to pick up the issue to find out why he's so weird.
They're very weird.
I have been I've been obsessed ever since this issue came out with Helgramites.
Yep.
Bagworms,
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Which are super creepy, and then those crazy non-jackalope horned rabbits.
Yeah, we have horned rabbits in Oklahoma, y'all.
Yeah, actual horned rabbits.
Actual horned rabbits. Pick up the issue to find out why. You won't believe what happens next.
And possums.
Yeah.
And possums are also very, very weird for reasons that I did not. Did you guys know all this stuff about possums?
I didn't know.
Some of
it. How
weird they are? Possums.
They're basically immune to venom?
Yeah,
that's insane.
I do think it's really funny that apparently Oklahomans in the Dust Bowl migration introduced California to possums.
They brought possums to California?
Or what did I say?
He said yeah.
They introduced
to California
to possums. It would be really crazy if during the Dust Bowl you just had a bunch of people who were like, all right, come here, guy. Out on the coast. Yeah, it's way far out there. There's an ocean. It's called California. Beautiful country. Have you thought about going? A lot of people here are. Hop on one of these wagons and head out.
Just jump in my knapsack.
If you would like to get this issue, obviously you can order it individually online, but it's still going to be on newsstands for another week.
Yes, you can. By the way, since the last time we recorded a podcast, I just realized this. We now have, you can go on OklahomaToday.com and order any back issue, pretty much. Just backissues.oklahomatoday.com, so you can get it that way. It still is probably on newsstands for a couple days here and there at your local indie bookseller or whoever.
7-Eleven, Walmart,
7-Eleven,
and lots
Sam's,
of other places.
Family Dollar, yeah, all those kind of places.
Across the state.
Oh, I forgot about this one. Beer City. This might have been my favorite thing in the issue. Brian Ted Jones wrote a story about the weirdest, scariest, creepiest, oddest place in Oklahoma. Back in the Wild West days, it was called Beer City. It wasn't creepy in the ghost paranormal sense. It was just
creepy
there was
in the,
literally
in the dangerous. There's no law here.
Extremely
sense.
Dangerous, like total anarchy.
Because it was a no man's land, literally.
Yeah, it was ungoverned.
It was ungoverned because of a series of treaties and agreements had sort of set out that this area did not belong to anybody, which is why they got away with serving beer there.
And what's so funny is the story's such a slow burn, because the whole first part of it is the history of how it came to be, you know, who owned it when and, you know, why and all these kind of things. And you're kind of reading it and you're going, okay, but when does the O? Like, it just hits all of a sudden, all the messed up stuff that happened in Beer City. I don't want to ruin any of it, but it's such a good story. It's one of my favorite things we've done in a long time.
But definitely pick up this issue, or head over to oklahomatoday.com/subscribe and get yourself a subscription to make sure you don't miss our next issue, November, December, which is coming out soon. Looks really great. We've already got copies.
Subscribers already have it. It's good. It's awesome. Online shopping guide.
Yeah.
We're big fans of shopping local for the holidays, so we wanted to let everybody know how to continue to do that, even if you're not currently going to stores.
It was so good that I literally, as we were fact-checking it and going over the pages, I grabbed a couple of pages and took them home and was circling things like, oh, I want to get this. Oh, I think my brother would like that.
See, I love that because, like, we were raised in the days of catalogs, and around the holidays, you get like the catalog, and you'd like circle the things you wanted.
The Sears catalog, I remember one of my favorite gifts of all time. So weird was this like package of 30 Marvel comic books that you got from Sears.
Oh, I
probably still have some of those, but it was like, oh, there's some Spider-Man, there's some Captain America, there's this and that, and then all of a sudden you'd have these like insane like mini, like Nth Man.
Yeah, Howard the Duck.
Howard the Duck, which was much crazier than the movie would have led you to believe, which is saying something.
But I should say, Carly, you're the one who kind of put all this together, and you did an excellent job.
Thanks.
So did you find any gifts for the people in your life among the pages that you put together?
I mean, I basically just chose the stores that I like to shop at. So, of course, I will be getting a lot of gifts. For the last few years, I've been getting everything online because I'm just lazy and I want it shipped to my house.
Yep.
And so I'm basically just going to use this as my...
Nice. Yeah. I would like the painting from the Philbrook.
But it's really
I don't have $7,000 in Frida Kahlo painting money, unfortunately.
Dang it.
But
oh well.
But it is really great that we have this option where if you don't feel comfortable going into stores, which certainly some people don't right now, but you want to shop online, but you also want your money and your tax dollars to stay in Oklahoma and fund the local economy, this is a really great way to do it. I think it's a really wonderful resource, because that's always the complaint you hear from people when you say, oh, well, I should shop local. It's like, but it's so difficult, or I don't want to have to go out there, or, you know. And this is kind of solved for them. So I feel like this is a really useful feature. And there's tons more stuff in this issue, next issue, as there are in every issue. We do a great job. High fives.
High fives, everybody. Good job. Another thing that appears in every issue, events.
Events, that's right.
And we've got some for you this week. Have we ever.
That was a smooth transition.
I know! It's like we didn't even miss a beat.
It's like your cool jazz from the 90s.
Season 2 premiere, baby.
That's right. All right. October 26th through the 31st, if you're a fan of the Thunder, the atmospheric phenomenon, not the tall men in shorts, you'll want to tune in to this year's all-virtual National Weather Festival from the National Weather Center at OU. Running October 26th through the 31st, this online event includes classes for storm watchers, activities for kids, talks from scientists, and more. Oh, and just like the wind blowing through Oklahoma, it's free. Visit ou.edu/nwc/nwf. Lots of slashes there. For more info, and follow along on Twitter and Facebook.
We're going to have to find a way to monetize that wind.
Yes.
People are just getting their wind for free. That could be money in somebody's pocket. So this next event kind of made me laugh when I started to write it, because I find it really funny that the word lazy appears in the name of one of the most famous rodeo grounds in Oklahoma, that being the Lazy E Arena in Guthrie. Because if you've ever been to a rodeo, you know that there is absolutely nothing lazy about strapping yourself to one animal that weighs a half a ton and then trying to lasso another animal that weighs an entire ton in less time than it takes me to pick out a brand of taco shells at the grocery store. And we need to have, I need someone to let me know why there are so many kinds of taco shells, because it's ridiculous. But, back to the rodeo, these titans of adrenaline are going to take to the dirt at the Lazy E Arena in Guthrie from October 24th to November 1st for the World Cup Finals of Team Roping, where teams of cowboys will compete for cash prizes and the honor of being the world's least lazy athlete.
All right, if you go to this event, you will definitely see me there. If you're impressed by sit, stay, and fetch, get ready to be bow-wowed by drag feats of furry fearlessness at the Summer Canine Olympics. From October 28th to November 1st at Oklahoma State Fair Park, pod professionals from across the country will be unleashed in Oklahoma City to show off their prowess in scent work, weight pulling, agility, and more. Guests are welcome to bring their own leashed pups, but get ready to drop some bones on all the pet-friendly products they'll be begging for. Visit OKSummerCanineOlympics.com for more details and adorable dog photos.
If there was a pun Olympics, you would win a gold medal.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Team pun roping.
Yeah, I can't keep up with those puns, but Italians and ballerinas both are known for their expressive hand gestures, and you can be sure the hands will be waving, flitting, and shaking menacingly at Tulsa Ballet's Vendetta, a mafia story at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center. In this story set in 1950s Chicago, Rosalia Carbone takes over as head of the family, the godmother, when her father dies. So pull your meatballs out of your purse and check out this ballet that combines drama and comedy with film noir in a Broadway-style show from October 30th to November 1st. And you can just Google Tulsa Ballet, Vendetta, a Mafia Story to find out more details.
I don't keep meatballs in my purse.
Well, you're missing out.
I sometimes have a taco in there.
I don't have room in my purse for meatballs.
I have been known to pull out little cheeseburgers from McDonald's.
I've seen it happen. This is a true thing.
And desiccated orange corpses.
Yes, I have a lot
and
of...
And once two pieces of bread in a manila envelope.
I had to make a sandwich.
By the way, next year's Spooky Oklahoma will definitely center mostly on Megan's purse.
That's fair. Yeah.
There are a lot of ghosts in there.
Head virtually to the Pawnee Bill Ranch and Museum in Pawnee on October 30th and 31st for Pawnee Bill Ghost Stories. Get your spine ready to be tingled as you'll hear ghostly tales about the Sooner State, terrifying local legends, and more. We've been assured the story of a man named Bill who pawned his fake knees will not be included. To find out more about the ghost stories or other programs, please call 918-762-2513 or email pawneebill@okhistory.org. And the website is okhistory.org/sites/pawneebill.
Nice. So there are certain Oklahoma towns that are famous for specific things. For example, if you want fried chicken, you go to Okarchee. If you want to spend a weekend in a luxury cabin, you head for Hochtown. So I'm going to add to that Tallahena to that list because it is the entry point for what is undoubtedly the fall's best view of foliage, and it's happening right now. So get in the car. This one is a little time sensitive. The Talamina Drive, of course, is that wonderful vista, and Tallahena is celebrating its foliage bona fides this October 31st. With the Tallahena Fall Foliage Festival at the Tallahena School Ag Barn, which is super easy to find. Just pull in town, ask somebody where it is. The southeastern Oklahoma town will welcome leaf peepers with a 5K run, a quilt show, pony rides, a Wild West reenactment, multiple food vendors, and, I think this is so cool, an entire area dedicated to learning more about Choctaw culture and history. Cap off the fun with a drive along the Kiamichi Mountains to see the red, gold, and green-hued trees blanketing this breathtaking part of the state.
I love that there's going to be a shootout, like, to honor the fall foliage.
Tallahena's a great little town. I like it. And there's some good, there's the Hateful Hussy Diner, which is really good, and the Rock House, which is one of the best meals I've ever had in Oklahoma.
Really?
Yes, without a doubt.
I need to go there.
I'm going to be on a Zoom call in about 25 minutes telling a bunch more people to go there. So, I don't know what their situation is with being open or not, so obviously all of these things call ahead.
Yes.
Make sure that something is actually going on before you go. Really quick final Halloween question, just a quick 1, 2, 3, 4 lightning round. Your favorite horror movie for Halloween? Because I think we're all fans of the horror genre to some degree.
Bram Stoker's Dracula is just one of my favorite movies. And I feel like I know what Carly is going to say. So
what's Carly going to say?
It's not really horror, but Hocus Pocus.
Hocus Pocus.
Yes.
I definitely thought for sure you were going to say What We Do in the Shadows.
That's what I thought.
Oh, no. Yeah, and then there's also Beetlejuice. I just love the creepy cute genre is my genre of choice.
Yes, Hocus Pocus. I didn't want to also say Hocus Pocus, so I picked
So you like some Nightmare Before Christmas,
yes,
for example? You're not such a big fan?
I'm not such a big fan of the Nightmare. Claymation kind of creeps me out.
Okay, that's bad. Except that you're
like
the person
not in a way, and not in a way that I'm like, ooh, I like being creeped out by this. I'm just sort of irritated.
I think it's funny that you're creeped out by Claymation, and you introduced me to my favorite horror movie, which is The Descent, which is absolutely terrifying.
Yes.
In every way and for every second that it's on the screen.
I love that movie.
Yes.
That movie is the reason I don't drive behind trucks that have pipes in the back of them.
Oh. Yeah.
Because at the beginning...
Oh,
yes!
Uh-huh. I forgot about that. I was like, wait, that was Final Destination, but that was Lost.
All of these movies we're recommending here so far are just gold.
And mine is just Halloween. I love the original Halloween.
Yeah.
The old school Jamie Lee Curtis versus Michael Myers.
Yeah.
It's the gold standard.
It absolutely holds up.
For slasher flicks.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for listening to another week. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast and make sure to rate and review us online, please. 5 stars. It really, really helps get our name out there to other potential subscribers. And really, that's all we want from you guys is to get us to other people. We don't care about you.
We care a lot about you.
Send any questions or comments to oktpod@travelok.com. You can
tell us what your favorite horror movie is. That's what we want to know.
Everybody's favorite horror movie is.
Send us your favorite horror movie at oktpod@travelok.com. If you would like to subscribe to the magazine, head to oklahomatoday.com/subscribe to make sure that you get our November, December
issue
shopping guide.
That's the word.
Words.
But I will also say that for those of you holiday shopping, we have gift subscriptions available, and they make excellent gifts because all you have to do is go sign up, and we take care of the rest. We mail it, we send it, we include a card. It's a whole lovely package, and they get the magazine all year long.
That's true.
I just renewed all of my gift subscriptions. I have like 3 or 4 that I send out, so I probably should be sending more. Huh? thank you guys so much for listening. We're back. Season 2.
We're back, baby!
Yes, season 2.
We'll see you. We'll talk to you again next week.
Goodbye.